Hello and welcome to Quantum Living, a hack to happiness and success. I'm your host, Anna Anderson, speaking with you and with my special guests from the most livable city in the world, Melbourne, Australia. In this cutting-edge and thought-provoking show, you will find information, inspirations, tips, hacks and insights on how to live a happy and fulfilling life in sync with the universe at the intersection of science and spirituality. A unique and mysterious dimension I call quantum living, where we can literally create our reality from within. Everything is energy. We are all connected. We create our life experiences with our thoughts and emotions literally at the quantum level, which manifest in our reality by slowing down their vibrations. When we learn, understand and apply these and many other quantum living principles, a state of good health, happiness, abundance and success becomes a natural way of living. So please join me in my interviews, reflective commentaries, guided meditations, stories, and some very practical coaching minis, and more. Welcome to Quantum Living. Let the magic begin. You can see your reflection in the mirror, you, an individual. You live, you breathe, you are. But you cannot take yourself out of the context of your experience. The outside world, your reality, which you so meticulously create in between the blinks of your eyes, affects you more than you are aware of. There are things out there that escape logical explanation. This lack of understanding creates a barrier between you and the rest of the universe. But you can change that. The reflection of an individual goes far beyond the mirror. In opening your mind, you can begin to explore the many new dimensions of your existence and see yourself as you truly are, a free, wise, happy, perfect you. Look not at what you can see. Look at what is hidden. Good morning, good evening, wherever you are, across the world and the universe. Thank you for tuning in. I'm sure most of you are familiar with the concept of channeling. If you were not, dare I say, you would not be listening to this podcast. But let's start from the basics. What is channeling? My personal definition is that it is receiving and usually passing on information, advice and guidance received from a place outside our conscious, logical mind. Some people claim they channel angels, ascended masters, beings from other dimensions and other planets, worlds, universes. In other words, consciousness outside this 3D reality. Or even God. This may or may not be true. But does it really matter? It is the quality of information that matters. If it's positive, uplifting, loving, captivating, helpful, and with a dry sense of humor, which usually indicates high intelligence, that's good. If it's dark, negative, depressing, heavy, egocentric and demanding, it's best to close that channel immediately, as God knows who is talking to you. Not good. We are all connected. That's no longer a New Age fluff, but a scientific fact. Quantum physics has proven that all energy particles, photons, which were at some point in time one and then they were split and separated by huge distance, are still behaving as if they are one. So we are one soul, one consciousness, one mind, with access to all that is, literally, while at the same time having an individual consciousness and soul agenda for each life experience. I know that's a tricky concept to grasp. Let's see if I can give you a visual. Imagine a huge cloud. That's the universal consciousness which contains all that is, was, and ever will be. Unlimited, infinite. Now imagine that this ginormous cloud grows little tentacles, which are energetic extensions, if you like, billions and trillions of them. That's the universal consciousness, the infinite intelligence splitting itself a little, wanting to have unique individual life experiences. At the end of each tentacle is a little bubble. That's the individualized soul particle, which is your higher self. When it chooses to incarnate, which simply means to have a physical body for a period of time, from conception until death, it remains connected via its energetic tentacle to the universal consciousness. Now, in order to manage its physicality, the soul particle creates a persona, an ego, which looks after the interests of the physical body and develops a logical mind that drives the various interesting life experiences for the soul. The higher self, which is the individualized soul particle, looks after the spiritual connection and the higher aspects of living. After all, it wants to grow and work towards completing its unique assignment. And so it is always accessible to the ego mind, the personality, the person, you. You are channeling your higher self every day without even realizing it. When you create something out of nothing, a painting, a book, a new dish, where does it come from? Your inspiration comes from the spirit, from the universal consciousness via your higher self, which knows what you are looking for and what will benefit you before you even think about it, usually without you even thinking about it. Everything is energy. Energy is information. Energy always moves, carrying information. How many scientists working on the same problem came up with the same solution, or a discovery, or a creative work of art, or an idea? You can't really steal information or keep it only to yourself. All information in the quantum field is available to everyone. Tune in to your higher self consciously, the bubble that connects your persona with the universal mind, and you will get the guidance, information, and advice that you need. That's channeling. Your higher self will never lie to you. Truth is a fundamental characteristic of information in the quantum field. Non-truth does not exist in its pure form. It can only be created by the consciousness, or soul particle if you like, overcome by the ego. So what happens, you could ask, when I channel an entity from another dimension and what they told me is a lie? Same answer. As soon as you describe the source of your advice as entity or a being, they have an agenda. They have an ego, which may have a sinister agenda for you. A soul particle may choose to have an individualized experience in a physical body or as a multidimensional etheric being. Just like a person can lie to you when they are speaking from their ego and not from their heart, which is the door to your higher self, so can a being from another planet or another dimension lie to you, if that's their ego's agenda. So, am I channeling now? And if so, who am I channeling? Well, as I'm tapping into my higher self, the bubble at the end of the tentacle of the universal consciousness, accessing information I don't consciously have at this moment in my logical memory banks, and so it is flowing to me. It is being channeled. Is there anyone in particular at the end of this telephone line? I don't know. Let's see. When does life come from? I've been studying this topic for many years, but one day, about a year ago, I had an epiphany. I called it the cucumber principle. I was looking after a friend's house for a few weeks while they were away. Before leaving, my friend said, "Please help yourself to the cucumbers growing in the garden. They are delicious." On the first day, I went to the garden, and sure enough, there was just one big cucumber lying on the ground, still connected to the vine. I picked it and ate it for lunch as a lovely cucumber sandwich. And yes, it was delicious. Pity there was only one, I thought. About 3 days later, I was in the garden again. And as I was walking past the cucumber patch, my eyes were drawn to the lavish vine coming down the trellises, scrambling along the ground, and I couldn't believe my eyes. There was a beautiful, large cucumber peeking at me through the vine. Where did it come from? Of course, every child learns at school how things grow from a seed. You can even watch it on the time-lapse film, which shows how a cucumber appears and forms and grows. We know the biology of life, but what made it grow? And where did it come from? I mean, 3 days earlier, there was no cucumber on the vine. Nothing. And then there it was. Think about it for a moment. Where did it come from? I was in awe. And then it hit me. The cucumber came from another dimension into this one. The concept we call cucumber materialized from the energy particles in the quantum field popping from another dimension, which is just a different frequency, really, into this one. And to ensure we don't freak out, it appears slowly. It grows. Which can be documented on film if you are pointing a video camera at it from the start. Where did my cucumber come from? Something has made it appear here. The sun, the nutrients in the earth, with just the right amount of water, and its genetic program to form a matter called cucumber, were only an invitation. If you mix in a petri dish all the microelements that constitute a cucumber, you can't create a vegetable from it. You need life that not only coagulates all the necessary ingredients of matter, but makes it a living thing. And this energy of life is pushing things between the dimensions. You see, my cucumber already existed in its full form elsewhere, where I couldn't see it. And then it decided to appear here to serve its purpose of being eaten for lunch. I know it sounds ridiculous, but when you really, really deeply think about it, it actually makes sense. When things are not here, and then they are here, where do they come from? Think about it. The cucumber principle will expand your understanding of all that is. When I picked it, I had a deep sense of reverence, and thanked Mother Earth for her gift that will satisfy and nourish my body. It came out of nowhere, literally, from the quantum field. and that was the best tasting cucumber I have ever had. Everything is. There is nothing that is not. Your intention, no matter how crazy or specific, magnetizes the corresponding reality which manifests in your space-time continuum. With some exceptions, your free will is within the boundaries you cannot cross, unless you decide to do so. Paradox. You can't predict where a quantum particle or photon will appear. You can intend it, but that's not guaranteed. The only guaranteed outcome is uncertainty. And even then, uncertainty becomes your reality that you can predict. A paradox again. Learn to live within and with a paradox. Nothing is impossible under the sun, but how to manifest it? That's a different story. How strong is your belief that you can fly? How strong is your belief that you cannot fly? Which one is stronger? What you focus your energy or your intention on, the universe will assist with. Things will pop out of the blue, miracles will happen, people will come to help you. Your intention is the magnet that draws the universal energies to it. The unfinished business is with yourself. The moment you accept yourself and embrace, not your life conditions, but yourself, life will accept and embrace you. I was sitting one day in my favorite old recliner, and then the handle broke off, which meant that it could have no longer been reclined, to my chagrin, and so I ordered a new one, for which I had to wait 6 weeks. In my mind, every day I was seeing myself sitting in my new recliner, which had a different color, while physically still sitting in my old one. And suddenly, I was sitting in my brand new recliner as if those 6 weeks never happened. That was the strangest feeling I've ever had, as if I literally collapsed the time. The old now changed into the new now, in an instant, in my reality. This was not a miracle, of course. I still lived those 6 weeks doing my things. I ordered the recliner and knew it would arrive. Still, that was a very mystical internal experience. It has occurred to me that the quantum manifestation process is really very simple. Once you start with the premise that all potential futures, that is, your life scenarios, already exist in the quantum field with no exception. The moment you think of and visualize the most bizarre future, it comes into the quantum existence instantly. Then the trick is to collapse the time between now and then. The only filter, I believe, is our reality check, which will filter out any desired futures that defy the laws of physics, biology, etc., unless you really want to see pigs fly. Our focus on what we want to manifest is the energetic rope that pulls the new future to us. The tricky part is that this rope is very fragile and needs to be constantly maintained with our energy. Any doubt, lack of faith, negativity, change of mind, or even lesser focus can easily break the connection and we have to start from scratch. The good news is that we can start from scratch, and so after a period of doubt, we can pick ourselves up, regroup, and focus again with renewed determination on what we want to manifest in our life. There are three sources of information that drive your decisions and actions. 1. The conscious mind or ego. 2. The subconscious mind, which is your DNA and your ancestral and behavioral programs. And 3. The superconscious mind, your higher self, which is the soul, if you like, directly connected to the infinite intelligence that created and continues to create all that is. You can use all three of them, of course. Just be mindful, where is the information coming from? What's coming from your ego is the chatter, a never-ending internal monologue that reminds you of every hurt, every disappointment, every argument you have had, every frustration and anger you had during the day and the week, the month, every mistake you have made, and why people hate you and take advantage of you, and that you are not good enough, and you don't belong, and you are not loved. You never have and never will, so just forget about it, sulking, withdrawing, self-deprecating. The programs of your subconscious mind usually run in the background without being noticed, unless you learn how to identify those negative ones that sabotage your life. How can you do that? By self-observation. Adopt a state of self-witnessing. Watch your thoughts, your emotions, and your reactions to life. Practice this art of self-awareness, and I promise you that you will start seeing those negative programs very quickly. For example, do you have a tendency to judge and criticize people all the time, to the point that this became your nature? That's just who you are? And then when people turn away from you and avoid you, all you can think of is, they don't like me, I'm not good enough, or that they are all stupid and not good enough for you. Strengthen your connection with your higher self. The space that your ego and your higher self occupy in your life is limited and fixed, which means more of one, less of the other. If you feel that you are driven more by your ego than your heart, which is the door to your higher self, rebalance that proportion. How? It is best to do it through a daily meditation. Tune inwards and listen. Have the intention to and invite your higher self to stronger connect with you. It always guides you, but your ego is a muting filter as it wants to be heard. But be careful, as the ego is a well-known trickster and will often pretend to be your soul's guidance. You can test every insight and feeling by placing its energy in your heart for a few moments. Close your eyes, breathe through your heart, and ask, is this information or insight or guidance coming from my soul, and is it for my highest good? And wait for the answer, which usually comes as a feeling or sensation. If it feels good and light and expanding, it came from your soul. If it feels tight, heavy, or creates any resistance in your body, it came from the ego. Every word you speak, write, or think following I am makes it so. Be very careful with self-demeaning thoughts and throw away comments such as I am stupid. Replace it with I am genius. And when you catch yourself having made a wrong decision or choice, just say, how silly of me. With these words, you are referring to the one specific situation in which you took the wrong path, not to your inherent nature or capabilities. A big difference. Your intuition is your soul guidance. Follow it. The more you act on it, the more often you will be receiving it. And just imagine your desired future in your meditations, in your daydreaming. And then turn it over to your higher self, knowing that what you will receive will be for your highest good. Be very mindful of your attitude to the emotional state called depression. You often give it an ongoing status, call it chronic, and you also take the ownership of it by calling it my. You identify yourself with it. This is your message to the universe, which contradicts your intention to remove depression from your system. Even when you meditate, your thoughts outside your meditation must be always congruent with it. Understand and accept that total health is your natural state of being, which means that your body always wants to maintain it. All you need to do is to allow it, not push it or enforce it, just allow it. Step outside of the state called depression and observe it. Note your thoughts, feelings, behavioral patterns. Once the pattern has been established, you can break it with the opposites. Understand the nature of depression. Depression is unexpressed or repressed anger, often bottled up for a long time, directed at oneself for the inability to resolve certain issues that cause pain. You need to resolve it, and that is best done with professional help, but there are steps that you can take yourself. The sense of disempowerment underlines depression. Ironically, depression is created as a protection, a buffer, not just from the pain you are feeling, but mainly from the sense of disempowerment. That there is nothing you can do to change the situation you are facing, which you can't accept or reconcile with. You know what you want in life and what you are capable of, and yet your reality is very different and your suffering continues. This state is called cognitive dissonance in psychology, when what is in your reality doesn't match what is in your mind that should be. Depression is created by the ego, which can't stand a defeat. It then wants to disconnect from life when life is what it shouldn't be. In time, a chemical addiction to depression develops, creating a downward spiral. The best way to alleviate depression is to redress the balance between your ego and your higher self. The more you allow your higher self to guide you, the more serotonin and other happy hormones your brain will produce. The door to your higher self is through your heart, and your heart is about love. There are conditions in your life that you can change, and then there are those that you can't. These are the non-negotiables of your destiny, your pre-life agreement with all that is with your soul. They often include the time and the manner in which you die, or to be more precise, in which you end the physical existence and move on to continue living in a non-physical form in other dimensions. The tricky part is that you don't know which challenging conditions in your life are subject to change and which are written in stone until and unless you manage to remove them from your timeline, from your destiny. Eventually, you do get a clue, especially when those conditions or situations are paradoxical in the context of your life, and by all accounts, they should simply not exist. For example, you are well-educated and highly skilled and experienced, and yet you are unemployed for a long period of time. You are smart and creative, and yet you find yourself in a financial crisis, perhaps even become homeless. You are attractive, have great personality, and have so much to offer in a relationship, and yet you go through life alone, with no love or partner at your side. You are fit and healthy, looking well after your body, and yet one day you find out that you have cancer. And the list goes on. You ask yourself, what's wrong with me? There is nothing wrong with you. These are the parts of your destiny which you can't change, which you chose to go through. So, since you don't know if you can or cannot change something in your life that you don't want, you must always try. Well, that's all we have time for today, but there is so much more to come, so please stay tuned for part 2 of Channeling Your Higher Self. That's all for today, folks. If you like this episode, please share it with others. You can also subscribe to the show on iTunes and on my website. And if you really love it, please post a review on iTunes to encourage others to listen to it. And if you'd like to dive deeper into quantum living and apply its principles to your personal circumstances, you might be interested in my customized quantum living coaching program delivered online. For details and contact, please visit my website at quantumliving.com.au. You will also find there, in the blog section, the show notes for this and other episodes. I'm your host, Anna Anderson. Thank you for listening. Until next time, be well.